the Lady DJ. Stay tuned for all the hits right after this news break on VOA 1.
I'm Frances Alonso reporting. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry met Tuesday with Nigeria's top Muslim leader. Chris Stein has this report for VOA.
The traditional ruler of Sokoto, the Sultan of Sokoto, is the highest Muslim leader in Nigeria, and it was at his palace that U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry gave a speech condemning Boko Haram excesses. He said education and opportunity could turn people away from the extremist group.
Boko Haram boasts no agenda other than to murder teachers, burn books, kidnap students, rape women and girls, and slaughter innocent people, most of whom are Muslims.
Boko Haram has killed about 20,000 people and displaced up to 2.7 million in its seven-year insurgency in northern Nigeria. Chris Stein for VOA News, Sokoto, Nigeria.
Turkey Tuesday pounded the Islamic State jihadist in Syria with new artillery strikes. It comes as tensions flared on the Turkey-Syria border after the bombing in Gaziantep that left 54 people dead. In the new fighting Tuesday, two mortar rounds fired from an IS-controlled area in Syria hit the southeastern Turkish town of Karkemis, according to Turkish television. Turkish artillery responded by hitting four IS positions around the jihadist-controlled Syrian town. Iran has arrested or summoned around 450 social media users over their online activity. That comes from the cyber arm of the Revolutionary Guards Tuesday. They said the people were carrying out immoral activities, insulted religious beliefs, or had illegal activities in the field of fashion. This is VOA News. A roadside bomb killed an American soldier Tuesday near the capital of Afghanistan's Helmand province. It comes after the first major U.S. deployment to the city since foreign forces withdrew in 2014. That blast left another American and six Afghan soldiers wounded, according to the U.S.-led NATO coalition. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqis in and around Mosul could be uprooted by the military assault to retake the city from the Islamic State, according to the UN Refugee Agency, the UNHCR, Tuesday. This is the UNHCR spokesman, Adrian Edwards.
In Iraq, we believe displacement may be about to dramatically worsen as the focus of military action turns towards Mosul. Already, over the last few months, some 213,000 people have fled their homes in different parts of the country.
Again, that is UNHCR spokesman Adrian Edwards. The UNHCR is looking to set up camps in up to six locations across northern Iraq, but finding available land for those new camps has become a critical issue. Russian competitors remain banned from the Rio Paralympics after the country lost an appeal Tuesday against a suspension issued over evidence of state-run doping. The Court of Arbitration for Sport dismissed the appeal filed by the Russian Paralympic Committee. It had sought to overturn the ban that was announced on August 7th by the International Paralympic Committee. Meanwhile, the Russian sports minister, Vitaly Mutko, slammed the Paralympic ban as beyond belief, and the Russian Paralympians could appeal, though it's unlikely to happen before the start of the event. That comes from Alexei Karpenko, a lawyer that's representing the Russian athletes. He says the Paralympians were denied the right to present arguments and proofs of their cleanness, despite the fact that they were checked by all possible anti-doping laboratories. He added that they were deprived of their fundamental rights, of rights affirmed in the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. He adds that all the rights were abused today. Meanwhile, the CAS said Russia did not file any evidence contradicting the facts on which the IPC based its decision. The German car giant Volkswagen said Tuesday that it had reached a deal with suppliers to resume deliveries after a stoppage that forced the group to stop production at several plants. VW and suppliers Kartrim and ES Gus had been locked in a dispute over the component maker's decision to stop deliveries. The automaker obtained court injunctions ordering two suppliers to resume delivery in early August. More at VOAnews.com. I'm Frances Alonso in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
The best
music today. The voice of America. VOA1.
Steinfeld on the way featuring Zedd. I've got Post Malone coming up. Stick around. This is The Hit.
I know that I'm running out of time. I want it all. And I'm wishing they stop trying to turn me off. I want it all. And I'm walking on a wire, trying to go higher. Feels like I'm surrounded by clowns and liars. Even when I give it all away. Different way than play the game.
right here. VOA.
Steinfeld featuring Zedd. That one is called Starving on VOA 1, the hits, new music for you there. We also heard from Major Lazer and Justin Bieber. Justin's manager, Scooter Braun, he just signed a new client, a lady by the name of Hillary Duff. You may know about her. She's already released 5 studio albums, the most recent last year, and apparently is looking to do it again. Duff now joins Bieber and Carly Rae Jepsen, along with Kanye West, as one of Scooter Braun's folk. We got Post Malone, White Iverson next on The One.
Sussing on you. I'm swagging, oh. I'm balling, Iverson on you. Watch out, yeah. I smash out, yeah. I'm spending on my. I got me some brazen. Started rocking the sleeve, I can't buy with no jaws. You know how I do it, can close on my toes. Oh. I ain't rich yet, but you know I ain't broke. So if I see it, I like it, buy that from the start. I'm with some white girls and they love them.
like they OT. Double OT, like I'm KD, smoking OG. And you know me, and my two threes, and my gold teeth. Smiling, you see me from the nosebleed. I'm the new three, and I change out to my new D. White Iver song. When I started balling, I was young. You won't think about me when I'm gone. I need that money like the ring I never won. I want saucing, saucing, saucing on you. I'm swagging, I'm swagging, I'm swagging on you. I'm balling, I've a song. I smash out, eh? Spending, I'm spending on my bed. Cigarettes in a hairband. Comma commas in my hair, man. Slumped over like a dead man. Red and black, but my bread, man. I'm the answer, never question. Lace up, learn a lesson. Some sauce, and I do this often. Don't do no talking. My options, right when I walk in. Drop on them Jordans, I'm ballin'. Money jumpin', like I'm Davis from New Orleans. A bitch, I'm hardin', I don't miss nothing. Practice, it just happens, no, y'all can't stand it. I have it, I never pass it. I wear my magic, I average, but on these bottles, it makes me happy. It's tragic, I make it happen, and all y'all shacked in. White Iver song. When I started ballin', I was young. Think about me when I'm gone. I need that money like the ring I never won. I want saucing, saucing, I'm saucing on you. I'm swagging, I'm swagging, I'm swagging on you. I'm ballin', I'm ballin', I've a song on you. Watch out, oh, watch out, oh, watch out, yeah. I smash out, I smash out, I smash out, yeah. I'm spending on my
The best music now. VOA 1.
I used to bite my tongue and hold my breath. Scared to rock the boat and make a mess. So I said quietly, agreed politely. I guess that I forgot I had a choice. I let you push me past the breaking point. For everything, you held me down, but I got up already.
Grateful you have got it locked to VOA 1, The Hits.
Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America, designed for people like you who are learning American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. Every day of the year on this program, we bring you news from and about the United States and the world. Because this program is produced for learners of American English, like you, we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words and phrases that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. This is what you will hear on today's program. Bruce Alpert will tell us how the UN's World Health Organization is working to reduce the millions of infant deaths that happen every year. Dorothy Gundy will tell us about an effort in Malawi to teach families to grow their own vegetables after little rain and then floods destroyed last year's corn harvest.
What we want to do is roll out our Victory Garden solution, our solution of changing the way that Malawians think about farming and thinking about food, so that Malawi can break the cycle of poverty.
John Russell will tell us about a fascinating new exhibit at the Smithsonian's National Museum of African Art. It explores how people experience and understand time, and it shows what artists can accomplish with film. Kaba Rezaei will tell us about a famous bridge in Washington, D.C. that is badly in need of repair. I will introduce you to the new way American Muslims are meeting possible spouses. And in our weekly health and lifestyle report, Anna Mateo will tell us how adults are using coloring books to reduce their stress.
They feel this is something that kind of will just sort of help them almost therapeutically.
So you can see, as always, we have a lot for you today. So let's get started.
The days immediately before and after childbirth appear the most dangerous for mothers and babies. The World Health Organization, or WHO, estimates that more than 300,000 women die every year during pregnancy or childbirth. Each year, about 2.6 million babies are stillborn, and another 2.7 million babies die during the first 28 days of life, it said. Most of the deaths are taking place in South Asia and in Africa south of the Sahara Desert. Many of the deaths could have been avoided with quality health care, WHO officials said. Another problem is that nearly all babies who are stillborn and half of all newborn deaths are never documented. Those deaths are not reported to or investigated by government health agencies. Officials said this means the actual number of stillborn and newborn deaths is probably even higher than the WHO's own current estimates. The United Nations agency says the lack of information makes it harder to find solutions. Ian Askew is Director of Reproductive Health and Research at the WHO. He said it is important for all births and deaths to be counted so health officials can make better decisions on how to prevent future deaths. In this way, Askew said, countries could improve the quality of health care and stop millions of families from enduring the pain of losing their infants or mothers. The WHO released three reports earlier this month to help health agencies do a better job collecting information. Askew told VOA that traditions and beliefs often interfere with the collection of important records about infant deaths. In many countries, he said, there is a belief that a stillbirth may not represent a lost life. Some stillbirths, infant deaths, or deaths of mothers result from complications during childbirth, the WHO said. Others may result from health problems with the mother, including diabetes or hypertension. A poor diet or using drugs can interfere with the growth of a fetus inside the mother, the WHO added. I'm Bruce Alpert.
In Malawi, over 6 million people need food aid because severe weather has made growing corn crops difficult. But small home gardens are helping. The Victory Garden Campaign is working with people in the capital city of Lilongwe to grow a variety of vegetables near their houses. Edson Kubani and his family live in the Lukuni area of the capital city. He created a garden last year after his corn crop failed. Like most farmers in Malawi, his family depended on corn as its main source of food. But now he grows vegetables such as tomatoes, pumpkins, beans, and potatoes. His wife, Afrida, helps with the garden.
Now I have even stopped asking my husband about food whenever he leaves the house. I just enter the garden and pick whatever food I need for the family and cook it.
Kumbani began his garden with help from a U.S. anti-hunger charity, Face to Face. Its mission is to help communities help themselves. Ken Wong is the director.
What we want to do is roll out our Victory Garden solution, our solution of changing the way that Malawians think about farming and think about food, so that Malawi can break the cycle of poverty.
About 22,000 families in the Lukuni, Sabongo, and Matundu areas are benefiting from the campaign. Each person that receives training will teach 25 other people. The small gardens are about 2.5 square meters and can grow up to 15 kinds of plants, vegetables, and fruit trees. The campaign chooses plants and trees that can survive on little water. The weather is still dry in Malawi, and some villagers must walk a long way to get water. Even so, the seeds of change for a healthier future are being planted. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
Artist Rachel Raimont did not plan on spending part of her day inside a dark building when she visited Washington, D.C., but she changed her mind after taking one look at a new exhibit at the world-famous Smithsonian Institution. The exhibit can be seen at the Smithsonian's National Museum of African Art. It is called Senses of Time, Video and Film-Based Works of Africa. Senses of Time is a video and film show that explores how people experience time. It is a really different experience than being in a gallery or looking at a painting, said Raimont, who lives in Baltimore, Maryland. It kind of forces you to step back and coexist with the piece instead of just glancing at it. Time is the main subject that connects all of the works, although the subject matter differs from work to work. The exhibit includes Yinka Shonibare's work, Un Ballo in Maschera. It is based on Giuseppe Verdi's 1859 operatic work, A Masked Ball. Shonibare's piece questions the nature of time. In it, a leader, played by a woman, is killed. She then rises again and dances once more. Muataz Nasser's film, The Water, is very different from Shonibare's colorful work. Nasser's film is in black and white. Faces appear in water on the ground, but before you, the viewer, can see any details, a foot steps on the image. Rachel Reimont liked how the exhibit was political, but did not try to teach about politics in an unwanted way. A lot of time with political work, there's a tendency for things to get a bit cold or didactic, but that didn't happen in there, she said. All of it was very moving, and it was very human. Perhaps the most openly political piece is Sami Balogi's memoir. It was filmed against a series of former copper mines in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Choreographer and dancer Faustin Linyekula does a dance while speeches from some of the country's earlier and current leaders play. The piece shows how the reality of the present has not lived up to the promises of the past. Linyekula expresses this idea in a heartbreaking way by shouting, "Vive l'indépendance!" or "Long live independence!" to nothing but silence. Other works tell of difficulties that political activists faced in the past. For example, Sue Williamson's work, called There's Something I Must Tell You, shows six South African women from the generation of former President Nelson Mandela. The women talk about their experiences to their young relatives. In total, seven films are shown at the same time in the African Art Museum's exhibit hall. The experience tests not only perceptions of time, but also ideas about what artists can accomplish with film. I'm John Russell.
A famous bridge over the Potomac River is badly in need of repair. The Memorial Bridge connects Washington, D.C. with Arlington County in Virginia. It provides drivers, runners, and walkers alike a crossing between the famous memorial to President Abraham Lincoln and Arlington National Cemetery. Tens of thousands of people use the bridge every day, but only some of them know that the large stone structure and its steel supports are slowly breaking down. The Memorial Bridge was built in 1932. It was designed to be a ceremonial entrance to Washington. But the bridge is in need of major repair work. Money for the project has been hard to find. The U.S. Congress approved a $90 million grant for the repairs. But an estimated $250 million would be required to fully fix the famous structure. Close to 68,000 drivers use the Memorial Bridge daily. Many have noticed the bridge is falling apart. "I see it every day," said Frank Lopez del Rincon, who spoke to VOA while riding his bicycle. The cracks, people working on it. It clearly needs lots of work. Kay Seyom, a taxi driver, also uses the bridge. He said he has experienced firsthand the difficulties of bridge repairs and lane closures, especially during rush hour. Temporary quick fixes have been made for several years. Recently, more permanent changes, such as closing the outer lanes and increasing weight limits, have drivers seeking other ways to get to and from DC. Emergency repair projects in 2010, 2012, and 2015 resulted in months of lane and sidewalk closures. The U.S. National Park Service says those repairs were only temporary. Park Service officials are responsible for the bridge and grounds around it. Matthew Gilmore is a local historian and planning expert. He said the Park Service has been making quick, simple repairs for many years. He explained the federal agency never has a lot of money to spend. But a major fix is needed. Without a complete repair project, the Park Service said the bridge will have to close to all traffic in 5 years. The main problem now is that the deck, or top surface, continues to break up. Cyclist Del Rincon was surprised to hear that the Park Service continues to struggle to find money for the project. "I would think the government would cover that," he said. The situation at the Memorial Bridge is found in other parts of the U.S. The American Society of Civil Engineers this year rated 1 in 9 American bridges as structurally deficient. Progress in fixing the country's roads and bridges is slow. Congress has been unwilling to approve the public money needed for such repairs in recent years. The country needs to spend nearly 2 times its current budget of $12.8 billion a year just to make sure American bridges stay safe and secure. That spending estimate comes from the U.S. Federal Highway Administration. I'm Kaveh Razai.
Many young Muslim Americans report having difficulty finding a spouse in the traditional way. So they are using websites that connect Muslims who want to be married. Filza Sati and Obaid Akram have been married for more than a year. They met on a website for Muslims who want to take part in halal dating. Halal dating is a way for Muslims to learn about one another, to decide if they want to be married, while at the same time observing the beliefs of Islam. When Muslim men and women date one another, it is with the intention of marrying one another, or deciding against marrying. As they are dating, they do not become physically intimate. They meet only in public places and with friends. And they must have permission from their parents or other older people to date one another.
ये कुछ दो साल पहले की बात है. मैंने एक वेबसाइट ज्वाइन की थी.
I joined a matrimonial website 2 years ago. You'll find a lot of people there with different backgrounds and cultural values.
Mission है उस वेबसाइट पे.
Obaid Akram says he once supported so-called arranged marriages, in which family members bring a man and woman together to be married. But he says finding a wife through a website was easier.
Halal dating, I think, is going to be the next thing for our Muslim community, because we need it. You need to do that. We all need to do that.
Some Muslims still prefer the traditional method of matchmaking or arranging marriages. Huma Qureshi lives in Houston, Texas. She has been a matchmaker for the past 16 years.
Definitely farak to aaya hai us cheez se, kyunki ab ye logon ko access easy lagta hai ki bhai koi beech mein hai nahi.
Online dating has impacted our work because it's so easy to go to the website and create a profile for a nominal fee. Boys and girls can also meet in the process we follow, but that involves families first. You do find halal dating amazing, as you're young and are attracted to the opposite sex. It's more like a fun thing.
Likings, dislikings, hamari badi milti hain, aur bada fun part bahut hota hai us dating mein.
Meeting other Muslims on a website and then taking part in halal dating is new. But Sati and Akram believe this is the way most Muslims will meet in the future. They believe learning about a person before a marriage takes place will help prevent some of the problems that arranged marriages produce.
Coloring is an activity that children worldwide have long enjoyed. With a picture already made for them, kids simply choose a crayon, pencil, or marker of their favorite color and fill it in. But why should children get to have all the fun? Now they don't. More and more adults are enjoying relaxing hours of coloring. This is thanks to a new book craze in the United States and in other countries around the world, an adult coloring book craze. In December, 5 of the top 10 best-selling books in the United States were coloring books made for adults. Artist Trina Lucido creates coloring books. To find inspiration for her drawings, she says she doesn't have to look far.
One day I saw a beautiful leaf and boom, I did a whole page with leaves. Some came from sketchbooks and some were just a one-word inspiration. Some I just saw something on the ground and that was my inspiration that day.
Trina Lucido's latest coloring book contains 40 pages filled with hand-sketched drawings of flowers, birds, and geometric shapes. It also has spaces to journal, in other words, to write about what you're doing or thinking. Journaling has long been an exercise in many types of therapy. Lucido says the big idea behind her latest book is to help encourage people to do something creative.
It's called Color, Write, and Create, and I wanted to do something that would encourage people to be creative. When I do art journaling, people will see my journals and go, oh my gosh, I wish I were creative. And that makes me sad because I feel everybody is creative. So the idea behind this book, the big idea, was to encourage people to be creative.
Lucido says the positive feedback from her customers is encouraging. She says that many of her customers are buying the coloring books for others who are sick or having challenges. Lucido adds that the act of coloring becomes almost healing, or as she says, therapeutic.
Something else that I've heard from people, that they're buying these for people who are either ill or going through a rough time, and they feel this is something that kind of will just sort of help them almost therapeutically.
Art therapy experts have said in several articles that coloring can reduce stress, by focusing you on a simple task. When you are filling in a flower with a vibrant purple color, you focus on the flower and not on your troubles. Experts add that coloring can bring out your imagination and can take you back to your childhood. Psychologists add that coloring activates your brain in a healthy way. The shape and form of the drawings activate one side of the brain, while the color and texture of the drawing material activates the other. Coloring also exercises a person's fine motor skills. But people drawn to coloring books probably are not thinking of exercising their fine motor skills. Susan Jackson is a big fan of Lucido's coloring books. Jackson stands in a local store in the Washington, D.C. area. She holds one of Lucido's coloring books in her hands. As she flips through the book, she says she is drawn to their beauty and authenticity. Sitting down and coloring, Jackson adds, relaxes her and just makes her feel happy.
Oh, it is very relaxing, and any stress just sort of falls away. It frees your mind, and it's not as daunting as trying to fill a blank page. The pictures, I think, are just happy. They just make me feel happy. I love her little birds. There's just something about them. They make me smile. So I'm saving the bird pictures to the very end, I think.
For now, there is a strong demand for adult coloring books. That fact keeps Lucido happy and very busy. I'm Ana Mateo.
That's our program for today. We'd like to hear what you think of it. You can send us an email. Our address is learningenglish@voanews.com. Or send us a message through our website. Just go to learningenglish.voanews.com and click Contact Us. While you are there, you can read, listen to, and download our programs. You will also find captioned videos and lessons to test your American English skills. Please know that however you reach us, we do read every message you send. While you are visiting our website, you can also read and listen to longer versions of the stories that you have just heard on this program. We hope this program has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. For all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending some time with us today. I hope you'll join us tomorrow for another Learning English program from the Voice